Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No.
Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's throwing the presentations on over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
Dino Long.
Yeah, salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs.
It is the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. We talked heavy baseball in the first hour. Let's switch over to the gridiron. Let's talk some NFL. Last night, Tampa Bay Bucks. It felt like too big of a stage for the Bucks after a 2-0 start. And I say that a little hesitantly. My best friend's a Bucks fan, so I've casually rooted for them through the years. But going up against a NFC and just NFL elite, the team that won the NFC last year, and the Philadelphia Eagles. Baker Mayfield had put together some good stats, but against poor defenses, both Minnesota and then Chicago, Bucks got down early and just didn't have it to come back in that game. Ultimately, I mean, the Eagles front is ridiculous. And you got Fletcher Cox and also Jalen Carter up front. And then obviously, I mean, on the outside, you've got A.J. Brown, who has a big night. Not having Carlton Davis last night for the Bucks was a big deal. And, I mean, Devontae Smith didn't even do anything, but DeAndre Swift, how about that dude? I mean, what he did in the Thursday night game against the Vikings, went over 100 and just had a monster game. And then last night ran for like 130 against a pretty good run defense. So very good showing for Philly. Tampa's still going to be feisty in that NFC South because I don't think you've seen any team that is going to separate. Obviously, you know, the Saints lose a heartbreaker in Green Bay. You've got Atlanta drops one in Detroit. So I think Tampa's still going to be relevant. But as far as, like, is Baker going to be leading the comeback player of the year charge? I think last night put some water on that one.
Yeah, I wasn't totally bought in on what Tampa did to start the year. I mean, you look at even now, their two wins against a Vikings team that's spiraling into 0-3 and a Bears team that is a disaster.
Disgusting.
And they, you know, they barely won that game. If Luke Getsy doesn't call a third straight screen that falls into
Shaq Barrett's
hands for a pick six, then, you know, Bears have a chance to win that game. I don't know. I just don't totally see it with Tampa with Baker Mayfield. They still got pieces. Obviously, you got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin in terms of weapons, and it's still a good defense with a lot of talent on that side of the ball. Baker Mayfield there. I think they'll be a solid team. I think they'll be a classic 8-9, 9-8 team, but I think they probably are. Yeah, they last night showed the difference in a true Super Bowl contender like the Philadelphia Eagles going up against that Tampa team. And I think it just, it's a reminder that this Philadelphia team is still awesome. I mean, they're still really, really good. Jalen Hurts is, I know he had a couple picks last night, but he's been really impressive these last couple of years, and you add DeAndre Swift now paired with Hurts and some of those option plays, and it's a tough offense to stop. And yeah, that front is ridiculous. Was in Baker Mayfield's lap all night. How about that Eagles goal line package? I mean, it's unstoppable.
When
how
they
do you
push
ever
Hurts
stop that
in the yeah. back and he does the QB yeah. sneak? I don't know.
If the Eagles need 1 yard and they come out with that package. What are they calling it? Are they calling it the tush push or something?
Is that what
like
it is?
That? Yeah.
Is that
how
what
does saying?
Every
how do you
other
not,
team
yeah.
not steal
well, yeah,
that?
You should, but also how does that not have 100% success rate? I mean, it feels like it has for the Eagles, but
right.
How do you stop in a 1 yard situation? How do you get a stop there? It's not possible.
So. Barring Troy Polamalu coming and jumping over the front line, even then, I mean, you'd probably get the push of him riding on Hurts' back for at least a yard. But any team that has gone out there on a 4th-and-1 or a 3rd-and-1, especially those that have run the tight end QB sneak or tight end sneak, how about you throw on the Eagles film and just throw out a crazy goal line package with big offensive linemen, couple tight ends, and then running backs are going to push your quarterback momentum across the line. It seems like it has a 100% hit rate. And yes, that Jalen Hurts, very strong and athletic quarterback to help in that type of a sense. Not everybody has that dude back there. That's a great point. I don't know why anybody in short yardage doesn't try to replicate that. And it's been good to Philadelphia. 25-11 win for the Eagles last night as well. Kind of more of a close game, not super exciting in terms of fireworks.
Not exciting.
The Bengals just needed a win. They got one. That's the best thing you can really say about that one last night. Ja'Marr Chase goes crazy. A lot of catches. Kind of had the Cooper Kupp type of stat line. 12 receptions, 141 yards. No Cooper Kupp on the other side, of course. But the Bengals beat the Rams 19-16. It's a banged-up Joe Burrow. They're going to have to look a lot better to really be a factor in that AFC. But they just desperately needed a win. At least the best thing you can say about that last night is that they got one.
Yeah, he had to get that win at home. I just watching Joe Burrow, I don't know why he's playing. I mean, it's week three of the season. I know it's an important game because you can't fall to 0-3, and you need to pile these wins up early to stack up in this loaded AFC. But Joe Burrow looks like he's playing at like 50%. Yeah. I mean, I don't know why you're exposing him to, an Aaron Donald-led defense last night with that type of injury and just the way he looked. I mean, he just doesn't look like himself at all. And he did make some plays there later in that game and hit Chase a couple of times, but he can't even maneuver the pocket at all. He's pretty much a statue there. And I don't know why you're risking that if you're Cincinnati. You try to heal him up and get him healthy because I think they're good enough to survive, a couple weeks here early in the season without him and still make the playoffs. And then if he's fully healthy for the playoffs, you can beat anybody if you're Cincinnati. So I'm surprised that Joe Burrow's even out there because he just looks like a shell of himself right now.
Yeah, you look at their schedule coming up. They're at Tennessee this week, then at Arizona, Seattle at home. If they could get him right for that, they have a stretch late October into November at the 49ers and then the Bills at home. Two really tough games. I don't know who their backup is off the top of my head. Do you know?
I don't know either. That's kind of the thing. I don't think it's anyone of relevance.
Jake Browning.
Yeah.
Is that former Washington quarterback, I think?
I think so.
It's just off the top of my head. But, yeah, it doesn't seem like they have any explosiveness to them. Like, they scored 3 points in week one against the Browns. I think that was a little bit weather aided, but still, like, they don't seem to have a lot of pop on offense right now. And it is a Joe Burrow that's, I appreciate the gutsiness of going out there in a spot that your team needs one, but it is a risk, no doubt, with that calf issue that if you worsen it, I mean, it's a guy very early in his career, not only for this season, but just your franchise guy. That is a risk, but they did get what they needed last night. Let's go through the rest of the slate here. We don't have to hit on every game, but any thoughts on the Thursday? I mean, the 49ers look like
going
into the playoffs last year, I think I picked the Niners to win the Super Bowl. They look like a team that could do it. Now, ultimately, even if Brock Purdy stays healthy and they go to Philly just ultimately looked like a freight train. I don't know if they win that game anyway, but 30-12 against the Giants. Purdy throws for 310 and two touchdowns. McCaffrey's been unreal to start this season. Debo is a monster, and they got a really, really good defense. They got everything you need.
Yeah, I mean, they were my preseason pick to win the NFC this year. I think this is the year that they're going to do it because they're a juggernaut. I mean, really, if they had, and they don't really need it in that Kyle Shanahan offense, but just imagine them with like a top five quarterback in the NFL. I don't know if they'd lose a game. I don't know.
Everything they need around Purdy.
Right. No. And that I wasn't challenging you on that at all. I think I got what you were saying there. I'm just saying picture with everything this team has on defense, weapon-wise, offensive line, just throw like a Herbert or someone like that on this team. I don't know if they lose. I truly don't know if they would lose a game.
Kirk Cousins is 0-3.
Kirk Cousins, yeah.
No, he's not maybe elite, but he's top 10 to 12.
And I'm not saying that Purdy's been bad. I think he's actually – people brush him off like, oh, he's just – you know, the weapons around him and Shanahan are making him anyone could do this. No, not anyone could be Mr. Irrelevant in the draft and come do this and be 10-1 as a starter. I mean, he's been good. He's been very good for what they've asked him to do. And yeah, it's just, I mean, if you got, and I know Ayuk's hurt now, but if you got an offense with McCaffrey, Debo, Ayuk behind that offensive line, I mean, that is, with Kyle Shanahan calling the plays, that is as dangerous as they come, and it's probably the best defense in the NFL, one of. You know, the Cowboys are up there and a couple other teams, mm-hmm. but it's a complete team and a really dangerous one, and I'm extraordinarily high on this Niners team.
I am as well. Everything, I echo everything you said just there. I mean, last year they led the league in picks on defense. They can get to the quarterback with their pressure. And then, yeah, they got the dynamic playmakers, McCaffrey, Samuel, and then also George Kittle. Can't forget about him. You roll through the rest, I guess. Let me – Chiefs, Bears, I haven't talked a whole lot about it. There's not a whole lot to say. It was embarrassing. It was 35-0 at halftime. I said it in the
first – For a second there, I'm like, wait a minute. I thought the Dolphins were going to be the story. The Chiefs going to put up a 70-piece of their own.
I kind of thought so. I kind of thought that they would have that number in their mind, and then I'm thinking, like, in the post game, yeah, you know, we were sitting in the locker room, we saw Miami put up 70, so we had to drop 73 on the Bears, which if they really wanted to, they could have, let's be honest. The Bears got to play the Broncos this week, and it's just going to be pain, because just to watch that game, I don't care who wins. But
yeah, I think – the story of the Chicago Bears right now is that the Denver Broncos just gave up 70 points and lost by 50. They're 2.5-point favorites in Chicago this Sunday.
Yeah. Some places it's 3.5. It's gone past the field goal. It's crazy. Fields has just a terrible situation, but more people than ever are out on him, and I understand it. Like, that should happen when you go from, like, hey, sneaky MVP candidate to – worst QBR in the league, fewest passing yards, and he's missing some things that are pretty elementary. Like, there's a clip of Cole Kmet coming open in the red zone where it's an easy like look off your first option, throw to Cole Kmet over the middle. He's wide open. Almost every quarterback as a starter in the NFL makes that throw. Now, I get it. You're behind an offensive line that's got you killed. You're in a system that's been terrible. And you've done nothing but lose for the last 12 starts that you've made as a Bear. There's a lot of things to talk about what's gone wrong in Justin Fields' campaign as trying to be the guy in Chicago. It's sickening to me that across – I was listening to the 670 The Score yesterday and know that, you know, the takes are getting out there just so sour that, you know, that maybe the Bears should intentionally tank for Caleb Williams, and that Justin Fields is now going to go the Trubisky route and have to go be a backup somewhere. And I will say this, though. If anybody legitimately thinks that Mitch Trubisky and Justin Fields are the same dude, I think you're absolutely freaking nuts. I think you're nuts. In terms of talent, like, it's not even talent. It's not even close. It's not even close. But, yes, situation's bad for Fields. Fields himself has been bad, and the Bears are just a joke, and I thoroughly despise watching their football games. That's all that needs to be said. Let's go on to Kyle's Dolphins, 70-20. Let's talk about the most exciting team in the NFL right now, that being Kyle's Dolphins. McDaniels is a genius. Mike McDaniel is a genius. Yeah. Tua, 300-plus yards, 4 touchdowns. Tyreek Hill
didn't throw an incompletion in the first half.
Too. Yeah, that's right. Was he 16 for 16 or was he even more than that?
16 for 16 at halftime. Jeez. I think he came out in the third quarter and made it 17 for 17 before barely missing Tyreek Hill on an out route.
Not only that, they ran for like 350 yards.
Yep.
And yeah, no Jalen Waddle, and they still dropped 70 on your head. Like, that's unbelievable.
The fact that that's kind of the, you know, I think anyone who actually watches him play would brush it off, but kind of the narrative was like, well, how do you defend Tyreek and Jalen Waddle? If one of those guys is out, then you can double team one guy, and, you know, life is much tougher on Tua. Well, Jalen Waddle didn't play, and they put up 700 yards. So any narrative about how it's just those two guys playing off each other, I mean, it's Mike McDaniel has been a revelation. I think it's going to be very soon when his name is brought up with the Andy Reid, the Kyle Shanahan, the Sean McVay guys that he worked with back in Washington and in San Francisco as one of the just brightest offensive minds in the game, if he hasn't been already. I know some people are already talking about him like that. It just watching the Dolphins offense, it's I don't know who's stopping that team. If they stay healthy and they're not in a rainstorm in the playoffs or whatever, it's you're going to need to score points to beat this Dolphins team. And as the Chiefs have proven a lot of times here over these last 5 years, if you can outscore anybody, that's a lot of times going to be all you need. And that's I'm feeling really good about this Dolphins team. That's not to say their defense hasn't been good. I mean, I think the defense has improved week after week with Vic Fangio in there, and they've got some playmakers on it. But it's the offense that's the story, and the fact that everything is clicking right now. And I think the biggest thing is just last year it did feel like at times the offense was one-dimensional because they could throw it with anybody, and you have Tua playing well and Tyreek Hill and Waddle. Obviously, you have to game plan for those guys. But McDaniel was kind of – he made a name for himself in San Francisco as a run game coordinator, as a guy that was really creative in the run game. Dolphins didn't really run the ball very well last year, and this year they've ran it great. And it's just when you're running the ball as well as they have, paired with the fact that they're maybe the most explosive passing offense in the league with two of the more explosive weapons in the league and Tua playing the way he's playing, then it's just you pick your poison at that point. I mean, if Raheem Mostert and Devon Achane are going to take off for 70-yard touchdowns and run for 350 yards, then how do you stop the – I mean, there's really no way to stop this offense. So it's just – I've never seen an offensive performance like that in my life. I mean, every minute they scored. I mean, it's just and on the Broncos side, like, have a little shame here. You got to stop somebody, man. I mean, 10 touchdowns? Let's get off the field once.
That's just incredible.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. And like you said, for them to get embarrassed like that and then go on the road and be a favorite says everything you need to know. But to circle back to the Dolphins, like, number one, do you stay up? Do you, if you, like, can't sleep at night or you wake up in the middle of the night, do you, like, scroll back or just sit there and smile? Like, Tua was getting trash talked crazy. Not even this past offseason, Ryan Clark, stand up. But, like, the first...
And he's trying to switch up now, which is so funny. It's like, you're going to make a comment like that. Tua's going to come into the press conference and
Address you
and call you out, like, as defiantly as I've ever seen him. And now it's, like, week three, and it's like, Tua's the MVP. This guy is awesome. It's like, no, you can't come.
Pick your side, man.
Yeah, you picked a side. Now you got to sit in it now. Come on.
But everybody was dogging Tua his first year or two in the league. Like, there would be the clips from practice where he would be missing guys so bad, couldn't throw it downfield, and now he looks as capable of hitting with accuracy, with downfield explosion. I mean, isn't that incredible?
Yeah, it is. And I mean, it goes to show you, I think, he is on a different level in terms of, does he have the physical traits of some of these other guys in terms of the strongest arm and the most zip on the football? No. But his anticipation and his processing and his understanding of the scheme and where guys are going to be is maybe as good as there is in the NFL right now. And that's really what has made him such a great fit for what Mike McDaniel has installed. But people calling him a bust after his second year in the league when he's got no offensive line and he's throwing a Devontae Parker who can't get open and nobody else. And he's, Brian Flores is trying to actively sabotage him and is not supporting him. And it's like, give him and to the opposite side of like a field situation, some of these other quarterbacks, put him in the right situation. Build around his strengths as a player, and you're going to unlock the most out of him. And that's what Mike McDaniel has done, and that's what the front office has done, giving him a Tyreek Hill to throw to and unlock so many things. And the offensive line has played so well this year too, which has been the big – honestly, that's the most underrated revelation here, is that even last year when he was playing so well, he was getting hit all the time, and that's why he missed so much time, because he's in danger when he's getting hit that much. By the offensive line, he's got sacked once. I mean, it's just everything has aligned for him to be his best self, and it makes me really happy to see, because you're right. He's been one of the more criticized quarterbacks in the league, and he's kind of shutting them all up now. And now you're seeing it. Now you get to that point, and you get to it with all these criticized young quarterbacks where it's like, oh, now everyone's coming out like, oh, look at this guy go. They're all trying to flip sides now. It's like, yeah.
It's going to
he proved a lot of people wrong.
It's going to be super interesting as the rest of this season plays out. I mean, even as early as this Sunday, a heck of a matchup between Miami and Buffalo going down. That's in Buffalo, right?
Yep.
At Buffalo, Josh Allen against Tua. But just there's been a lot of conversation about what's the power rankings look like in the quarterback as far as the quarterback across the league beyond Patrick Mahomes. Like, is it Joe Burrow next? Is it Josh Allen next? Trevor Lawrence is making his way up.
Right.
Tua is obviously somewhere in that range. Justin Herbert's got a ton of love.
Yep.
But I think they're, you know, a handful of years, if not as recently, probably as going into last year, people would have said, oh, man, can you imagine if the Dolphins would have taken Herbert instead of Tua? And then there's been a lot of buzz, and rightfully so, for Burrow getting to a Super Bowl. Josh Allen, super exciting. We've given our thoughts on the Madden cover, and I think Joe Burrow should have been on a Madden cover before Josh Allen. But where Tua's at in that by the end of this, like, I know the Kool-Aid's probably tastes as good as it ever has today, but I want to throw this to you, and we can talk about it for a second to everybody else as well. Like, where do you think Tua's going to be or is right now? Is he better than Justin Herbert? Is he better than Joe Burrow? Is he better than – I mean, I'd pick him over Trevor Lawrence right now, but like that next Patrick Mahomes, draw the line, where do you put it next?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, I want to see this season play out. This is a Dolphins organization that hasn't won a playoff game since 2001. And Tua, obviously, last year didn't get to finish out the season due to injury. So he's got to stay on the field. He's got to put in a full season. And with the way that this team is set up, I want to see what he does come playoff time. And can he lead this team to the place that I think they can get to with this roster? So that's when I really will assess it. I think right now, I mean, I think you, as a guy that loves Tua and is a massive Dolphins fan, you can't put him over a guy like Burrow or Herbert or Allen right now. He hasn't proven that quite yet. He's got to play a full healthy season like this. And if he's still at the top of the MVP leaderboards and he's leading you to playoff victories, I think then you can start to have that conversation. But he's quickly rising. I mean, there was a time even at this time last year. I mean, I know he got off to that great start last year too, but like just over a year ago where it's like Tua's getting ranked 23rd in the NFL. He's getting ranked behind like Ryan Tannehill and like some of these other quarterbacks. And it's like now I think at this point you're starting to realize when he's got the right pieces around him to really be his best self, now you can start to – put him in those conversations with some of these top guys. But yeah, I want to see this season play out. And if he continues to play at this level and he continues to be in those MVP conversations and he leads the Dolphins to success beyond the regular season, then you start to have those conversations. But yeah, it's a little too soon for me to say, oh, look, everybody, you know, Dolphins should have taken Justin Herbert. Now look how dumb everyone was for saying that a year ago. Now that's not, you know, that I don't think that, but I do think it's been exciting to see him really just climb the rankings here recently.
Speaking of Justin Herbert, Randy did ask on the U of I Line Link text line, how bad are the Chargers coached in terms of
talk about
Brandon
a guy
Staley,
that needs
man.
A better situation, Justin Herbert.
They barely survived there in Minnesota. Minnesota dropping to 0-3. I know the stat out there, it was said, I think, going into the Monday night games and really throughout the lead up to week three, is if you start 0-3, there's only been one team since 2002 that started 0-3 and made the postseason. The Vikings are 0-3. The Chargers faced that going into Minnesota, but they were able to win 28-24. Herbert throws for 400, three touchdowns. Keenan Allen on my fantasy team, by the way. 18 catches.
You had a good week then.
215 yards. He threw a touchdown pass himself. Yeah, it was pretty good. But Brandon Staley is I don't know how he survived.
I have no idea.
Speaking of like postseason position collapses and whatnot, like there have been high expectations on this team. And what happened in Jacksonville last year, I don't know how he survived that. And now this is a really tough start for him.
I don't know if you watched the end of this game, but their game-winning touchdown was a ball that was thrown right to the Vikings DB bounced off his hands for a touchdown.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, the ball should have been picked. Ball was thrown right on his hands, and he dropped it right into, I forget, I don't think it was, I can't remember what receiver it was for the Chargers, but it bounced off the defender's hands into the Chargers' hands for a touchdown. Like, they should be 0-3 right now. I mean, it's, yeah, that's, and you think about how much money they've invested in that roster, and like, for the defense to be as awful as it is, I mean, how is Brandon
Staley?
They
put so much money in that defense.
I don't know how you possibly survive that if you're Brandon Staley. I mean, it almost seems like a situation where if there was a team that would benefit from a midseason firing, it's probably the Chargers. I mean, just get a fresh face in there, because it just hasn't worked, and it's been so disappointing with Brandon Staley at the helm there. I mean, it's a roster that's way more talented than they've performed, with a quarterback that's way more talented than the team success that he's had so far. So I just continue to be really confused about that Chargers team, because it should be so much better. Feels like the last three off seasons, it's been like, man, this Chargers team's loaded. They're making big moves here. This is going to be their year now. And it's just underachieve. I don't get it.
Who was at the helm? Was it Marty Schottenheimer that whole tenure of like Phillip Rivers, LT, Antonio Gates, those postseason teams that could never quite get over the hump? Like they would have some really good regular seasons. They might, you know, I think they knocked off the Colts in Indianapolis one year. Was there another coach in there that was part of that, or was it just Marty?
I am not sure. I am efforting.
So I was trying to think, could you bring back one of those guys to – obviously, that's not going to happen.
Norv Turner.
Where's he at? Brother of Ron, of course, former Illini head coach. He's coaching. He's OC somewhere, unless he's just on a beach.
He most recently, it's not listing any recent jobs for him. He was most recently a assistant with the Carolina Panthers from 2018 to 2019. Post COVID, it doesn't look like he's been in the league.
All right, Norv Turner, come on down. Randy says the Chargers went for it on fourth down on their own 25 with a minute left. Oh, that's right. I did see that. I flipped over to the Red Zone channel, and I did catch that.
I mean, we might brush past this in a minute here, but in terms of fourth down decisions, that was the second worst of the weekend.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That was bad. That was brutal decision by Brandon Staley, and that wasn't even the worst one.
Let's get to a break. We got a lot more NFL to break down on the other side. And before we get out of here, a little Barry Lunny, a little Aaron Henry. Well, I don't know why that was slipping past my memory, but we'll get to those before we get out of here as well. If you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255. This is The Drive.
A biker, a Baptist minister, a Catholic priest, a veteran, and a farmer walk into a trucking company. Sounds like the beginning of a bad joke, doesn't it? Well, it's not. It's the diversification of the driver force at Gale Ferrix Trucking. At GFT, we welcome all qualified Class A CDL holders. So if you have 2 years of experience or less with military service, a clean driving record, and a positive work ethic, we want you to fill one of our three open regional van positions today. You will have every weekend at home and earn the money to enjoy it with our $1,200 weekly gross pay guarantee, in addition to all the other great advantages GFT offers. During the month of September, we are paying a $4,000 sign-on bonus to experienced drivers that want to work for a company that works as hard for them as they work for us. Call 765-793-7131 or email timo@gftlog.com. 765-793-7131. Or email timo@gftlog.com.
Let Max Twin City Recycling pay you for your junk metal items. As the weather begins to heat up, now is a great time to put cash in your pocket for the steel, copper, brass, and aluminum items you've been meaning to get rid of. We've recently added a large concrete pad to make unloading quicker and cleaner for our customers. Visit us on North Lincoln Avenue, just north of I-74, or at maxrecycling.com.
Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola sells Tempur-Pedic beds. What's it like? I'm going to tell you right now, Stevie, that thing is the best thing I've ever slept on in my life. My wife and I both have said we've never had better night's sleep. And the people at Kelsey's were fantastic. Brian is the guy that helped us. You know, as much as I did my research, he has a world of knowledge about beds themselves. Oh, man, it's like sleeping on a cloud, man.
Kelsey Furniture, downtown Tuscola.
When you've got an emergency, call Dogtown Heating and Air. Whether it's HVAC repair, plumbing repair, or choosing a new system for your home, Dogtown is here for you. They're an independently owned Lennox dealer, and they offer financing and repair for all makes and models. They also offer a maintenance program to protect and prolong the life of your equipment. Open 24/7 for your needs. Call Dogtown Heating and Air at 217-841-4728. That's 841-4728. Online at dogtownheatingandair.com.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weaver's Flooring and Furniture Gallery. Take a look around your home. Is it finally ready for some much-needed updates? If you don't know where to start, then just meet with one of our experts. We'll help you find the perfect waterproof plank floor for your kitchen or that stain-resistant, super-soft carpet for your bedroom. Finish your room update with a custom sofa and chairs, or choose a trendy in-stock dining set that's priced right. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
Like every bank, there's a time every day when we stop making loans. But at Iroquois Federal, we never stop making a difference. Thanks to an amazing team of employees who give back to their local communities all over Central Illinois. From hospital boards and local school programs to Kiwanis and the United Way, Iroquois Federal employees donated more than 1,000 volunteer hours last year. And we'll do it again next year, because the only thing we like more than making a loan is making a difference. Iroquois Federal. Still friendly, still local, still here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Ross went out. I always told him to be careful, and that was the last time I got to see him.
Because someone didn't slow down and move over. Ross had on a bright orange shirt with reflective stripes the night he was killed.
He always had that smile. He just lit up the room when he came in.
Slow down and move over. When you see flashing lights, everybody is somebody somebody.
When you see lights flashing, use caution passing. Let's all go home safe tonight.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back on the drive at Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Sorry to Ryan and Callie. He didn't love the tease. Didn't just give him the answer. But we had to keep you sticking around for a little while. The second worst fourth quarter decision, or fourth down decision, I should say.
Fourth quarter works too.
Yeah, fourth quarter on fourth down was the Chargers going for it on their own 25. The worst would have been the Las Vegas Raiders. Bold choice. Bold decision by one Josh McDaniel. Fourth and four at Pittsburgh's 8. 2 minutes and 22 seconds to go, and they kick a 26-yard field goal down 8 points.
Yep. Makes no sense at all. It just doesn't. I mean, the thought process of we need two scores to get back in this game, you don't. You're down 8.
Yep.
And you're 8 yards away from the end zone. You need 4 for a first down. And then the fact that there's nothing about it. Because let's say you don't get that, well, you're in the exact same situation you would have been in, actually, with the Steelers offense backed up even further.
True.
You still need to get a stop. You still have your 3 timeouts and get the ball back. You still got to score a touchdown. The Steelers would actually been in worse position. Field position wise, yeah, you don't get a chance to win then if you're down 5 and you score a touchdown. You need a touchdown either way. You can't be playing. I mean, the odds of you getting the ball back twice is ridiculously low. So you need to go for that on 4th and 4 from the 8-yard line. It makes no sense why you wouldn't. If you have that little trust in your offense, then, I mean, you shouldn't be an offensive head coach in the National Football League. I mean, it's just that was just beyond crazy to not go for that.
I don't know if like 9-year-olds on Madden is the right way to judge what you're supposed to do, but it's funny. I feel like a number of them, or even if you call them 12-year-olds on Madden would make more reasonable decisions on when to go for stuff and when to punt and just those type of in-game stuff than some of the coaches out there. Some people just makes some guys on the sideline, it's easier from this seat to analyze it than not. But come on, man. Like, they're supposed to know that. It's just common sense. Like you said, you're still going to need a touchdown. There's just nothing about that situation that makes any kind of sense. There are people that are playing Madden that are making that decision and understanding without a second of contemplation. So Josh McDaniels is a bad head coach.
Yep.
He was terrible in Denver. And as I think about it, like, has there been one Bill Belichick disciple that's been a good head coach? Like, Charlie Weiss was bad at Notre Dame, and Romeo Crennel wasn't good for the Browns. And
even look recently, like, Matt Patricia, awful.
Oh, yeah, terrible.
McDaniels, awful. Brian Flores, bad.
Guess Bill O'Brien was decent at Penn State, not great.
Yeah, but then he didn't work out in the NFL.
True. Yeah, that's not good for the Raiders. Davante Adams, you seen some of his comments? Is he going to get traded before the season's over?
Should demand one. I mean, it seems like he's that type of guy that's going to be like, I'm done with this. Get me back with...
He's probably bummed out because he was probably thinking in the back of his head, I'm going to make my way to the New York Jets.
I can see what I was about to say. I can see where this is going. You finish.
Well, I was going to say he would make his way to the New York Jets to play with Rodgers.
Yeah.
Like, middle of this season. But the problem is Rodgers isn't going to be there.
Yeah, no, but what I think is that I see exactly how this is going to play out. He's going to be grumpy all year long here in Las Vegas. And he'll be a starting wide receiver on the New York Jets in
next year,
week one of next year.
Yeah. You know what actually could play well for that happening is that by Rodgers not playing this season, they keep their first round pick, which they would have had to give to Green Bay if he played a full season, played 70% of the snaps, what have you. They could use that in a trade. And you probably don't even – would you need to give the Raiders a first round pick to get Davante Adams?
I mean, if he's disgruntled, it's...
Yeah, maybe not.
It's tough, but then he's going to draw a lot of interest from around the league. It's not just like it's like the Damian Lillard situation where it's like Miami's the only option here.
Right.
It would be interesting to see. The Jets probably would have to give up something sizable. I mean, Davante Adams is awesome.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of value.
Yeah. Dish that first-round pick, because as we know, a second-round pick is only going to get you Chase Claypool back.
If you have a lot of confidence in Aaron Rodgers coming back to his old self next year, then you do what it takes and you build a Super Bowl contending roster next year.
Yes.
Just real quick, too, before we get off the NFL, I mean, the Jets.
What do they do? I don't care what Joe Namath said, he's an idiot.
As somebody who hates the Jets, it's a division rival of mine. I was so sick and tired of the offseason hype from them this offseason. I find myself feeling bad for their fan base. It's like you came into the season with Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, a team that's, is this a Super Bowl contender in the AFC? Here come the New York Jets. This week, it's like week four, Chiefs-Jets Sunday Night Football. They're playing in these huge games. They're terrible, and there's one reason why, and it's the quarterback.
That's the difference between a top-tier quarterback and missing in the NFL draft and not having a franchise guy. That's the difference. And it's so painful. It's so painful.
I thought that they would still be solid backed by that defense.
I agreed.
Thought Zach Wilson, you don't have to do a whole lot here. You got some help here. You got a decent running back room. You got Garrett Wilson. You don't have to be Superman. You just have to be decent. He's been horrible.
Mm.
And the Jets are, I mean, yeah, I have zero concern about the New York Jets this year anymore.
I saw they signed Trevor Siemian today. Yeah. That's not going to help their cause.
They need to challenge somebody, though. Like, Robert Saleh keeps coming out like, yep, Zach's our unquestioned guy. Like, do something to give him some competition. He's terrible.
There are some Jets fans that want to go all in on this year and try to entice Minnesota and say, hey, let's trade for Kirk Cousins.
Interesting.
I don't know. Like, that's – what would you have to give up for Kirk? And then, like, is he a one-year rental and then Aaron Rodgers comes back? And then you dish him? Like, you could use it as, like, a I think a rental asset, like trade for him, play him for a year, then trade him to somebody else.
Yeah, I think the Vikings would be pretty motivated to trade Kirk. That's the one thing I could see there. Like, I think
his value's high right now.
Yeah, but then that contract too for them, and it's, I mean, and they're 0-3.
It helps them. It helps them. Like, his stat line should be pretty appealing to anybody that needs a new quarterback.
Absolutely. But my point is that the Vikings are in a position right now where, let's say we get three more weeks down the line here and they're 1-5, and it's like they're just out of the picture. They have that Kirk Cousins contract. He's not the problem there. His numbers are enticing. He's got some trade value, but you can get off that contract and kind of just reset a little bit in Minnesota. I think they'd have interest if the right offer presented itself to doing that.
Right. Well, that makes sense.
But I don't know if I see that.
And I understand, like, other people have thrown out, should they go try to talk to Carson Wentz? Good luck with that.
Yeah, that's just...
Talk to Matt Ryan. They don't have a good offensive line. You want to put Matt Ryan behind that at 40 years old. He was pretty bad with the Colts that last year. Mike says, how about bring Tom Brady out of retirement? I know Tom shot that down. He got asked about it by somebody. I don't even think he addressed it. He just said next question. But I don't think he would do that to the Patriots fan base. At that point. I mean, he's already...
I don't think he's going to do it again where he changes his mind and comes back. It's just he seems like...
You're going to have to do it quick because there's too many tough games for the Jets on their schedule to, like, where they're out of it.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. I don't know where the Jets go. I think they would need to make some type of surprising move for an established guy currently starting in the league. And maybe that's Kirk Cousins, but you got to do something. I mean, if you're the Jets with the defense that you have, with the roster you built around what was supposed to be Aaron Rodgers, you can't just keep trotting Zach Wilson out there to do this. I mean, you just can't do that. You can't do that to your fan base. I mean, if I had to watch Zach Wilson ruin this Jets team right now as a Jets fan, I'd be losing my mind.
Yeah.
It's not all his fault, but he's been awful.
He was awful. In the Patriots game, I know it was a sloppy game, good defense, what have you. He was terrible in the Dallas game, terrible in the Patriots game. Now it's another daunting task against the Chiefs, who defensively, I mean, they're pretty solid. And then good luck. You can't score 15 points and try to keep up with Patrick Mahomes and company. Although that's still a stellar defense. It's just got to be a really frustrating defensive room. Like, just looking around at each other like, we're one of the top units in the league, and we got – no chance with this guy at quarterback. You mentioned a starter. I don't know. Did you say proven guy, starter, guy that's starting in the league right now and available on a bad team? Justin Fields, right?
Proven?
Oh, dang it.
That ruins that.
Ryan did mention thoughts on trading Fields to the Jets. Like, if Aaron Rodgers wasn't there, I think that'd be a team. If you could have rewinded back to the offseason before they got Rodgers, although, yes, they were always going to hold out for Rodgers before making another move on a quarterback, but Jets fans were, like, crying themselves to sleep at night. The thought of they didn't draft Justin Fields and instead drafted Zach Wilson, because Justin Fields came out of last season with a lot of flair, a lot of excitement, a lot of, all right, this guy's going to be potentially one of the next stars in the NFL, and Zach Wilson's a dud. And it felt like, you know, for a Bears fan, we're sitting there kind of like, ha-ha, dangling. We got the girl that you got a crush on. We got her number right here, and we're dangling in front of your face, and then we call it, and we'd be like, welcome to Domino's. What can we get you? Like, that's essentially what we got. So I don't know what value Justin Fields has to them because they got Rodgers coming back. I know that's not a certainty. He's going to have to go through rehab and whatnot, but.
Yeah, I think if you're the Jets at this point, you are probably just – let's start planning for next year, and let's hope that let's put all of our resources in Aaron Rodgers' recovery so that he can be back to his former self. And yeah, let's have our eyes on 2024, because it is, yeah, there's not great options there. And even if, yeah, like, trading for Justin Fields, is he probably a better player, and does he give you more options on offense than Zach Wilson? Yes, but he has a lot of improvement that needs to happen. You can't just trade for him and be like, oh, here's Justin Fields, a guy who's really struggled.
Mm-hmm.
you're our savior, Justin. You're our starting quarterback. Now it's like, no, that's even, it might be even ruining him worse than the Bears are, because you're putting that pressure on him for a guy that really has a lot of issues still. So it's like, yeah, there's just no good solution.
You would get a great defense. You would get Garrett Wilson, but you do get a really bad offensive line and Nathaniel Hackett.
Forgot about that. Yeah, because they brought him in simply because he's worked with Rodgers before.
Yeah. Which is probably the only reason Luke Getsy has a job in Chicago. Oh, it all comes together. Yep. Got to catch another break, and then we'll wrap up the show with a few more thoughts, because I do want to get to, I know we had somebody on the text line ask about Jordan Love and that Packers comeback. Got to weigh in on that and the final thoughts on the NFL. We went heavy NFL. It was, look, it's a lot of storylines, lots to talk about. We can get to the coordinators tomorrow and just go heavy on Illinois-Purdue preview before not having a show on Thursday. Got any final thoughts on the NFL? Hit us up, 217-359-2255. This is The Drive.
At ABC Heating and Air, it's our promise to help you always be comfortable. Do you need rescued because you're burning hot? Do you need rescued because your air is shot? Call ABC Heating and Air at 352-5400 and let us rescue you from the heat. ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400. Can't you see you need to call me at ABC? Call ABC Heating and Air. That's ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400.
Get the roof your home deserves by Roof Doctors, your residential roofing specialist that has always offered the best warranties in the industry, like our non-prorated 50-year warranty. Our customers love that we are family-owned and locally operated. We make our customer needs our top priority. With over 30 years experience and the best customer service, give Roof Doctors a call today for your free estimate at 328-7529. In your community and for your community, Roof Doctors.
Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm home and auto insurance, you can save an average of $889. The Brian Hansen State Farm Agency is ready to help you combine home and auto and save in Champaign-Urbana. Call 217-344-1900 today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Average annual household savings based on 2019 national survey by State Farm of new policyholders who reported savings by switching to State Farm. Carl works every day to improve the health of community members across the region, and it would not be possible without team members like Sierra Poole, phlebotomy lab lead at Carl Foundation Hospital.
I love working at Carl because of the togetherness among the phlebotomy team and the opportunity to advance within the department.
If you're looking for an opportunity to serve your community like Sierra in a supportive environment with opportunities for growth, visit carl.org/careers.
So when was the last time you saw a best deal guarantee?
You mean a promise that actually held up?
Right.
That some unknown online entity didn't want you to log in and download a code and then re-verify as you join some club?
Drives you nuts, I know.
And then once you purchase that set of steak knives?
Well, Dick Van Dyke Appliance World is a lot simpler. You find a verified great deal and they beat it. Just show them the deal you saw. A newspaper clipping or the online cart price will do, and then you're good.
At Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, it's one of those instances where you see a best deal guarantee and
you get the best deal.
This is Dennis Reakin, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Our exclusive 10-year protection plan comes free with most appliance purchases. Whether it's a GE, Whirlpool, Frigidaire, Bosch, or any of our 30 brands, I guarantee we will beat any competitor's deal. Wow!
Dick Van Dyke Appliance.
Let Max Twin City Recycling pay you for your junk metal items. As the weather begins to heat up, now is a great time to put cash in your pocket for the steel, copper, brass, and aluminum items you've been meaning to get rid of. We've recently added a large concrete pad to make unloading quicker and cleaner for our customers. Visit us on North Lincoln Avenue, just north of I-74, or at maxrecycling.com.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Finishing up here on The Drive with Sam Piper, Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk. I want to quick hit a couple of these. We just have just a few minutes left. Wade on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. What'd you think of the Rodgers-Favre-esque comeback by Jordan Love and the Packers? I didn't like it. Nope. But you're right. I mean, that's exactly Brett Favre in the fourth quarter. How many fourth quarter comebacks did he have? Aaron Rodgers. Look, the stat line wasn't beautiful, like 259 yards, one touchdown, one pick. It was a scoreless offense for three quarters against a pretty good Saints defense. I mean, I'll give him the at least the acknowledgement of that. It's not like he was not performing against a below-average defensive unit, but he did make some plays on the ground and make clutch throws and plays when he had to. I mean, the fact that it's 17-0 and you turn around, if you stepped away from the TV, as actually I did, I went back and watched some of the highlights, and you come back in and you're like, wait, it's 18-17 Packers, like going into the last couple of minutes. It's crazy. I'm so jealous of it. That's the bottom line of it. I'm so jealous of the fact that Jordan Love, the situation is really, really good for him, and he's actually, to his credit, played well when there's pieces of that situation that aren't there. Christian Watson, Aaron Jones, Bakhtiari's been hurt too. But their offensive line is good. Their system is good. Their play calling is good. Their culture is winning. And he looks comfortable. And he has a great quick release. And I'm super jealous.
Yeah, it was really impressive on Sunday to me because I hadn't been overly impressed by anything that he'd done. I mean, his numbers have looked really good, and he's done what is needed of him, and he's been put in a position to have success. But leading that comeback on Sunday was one of those moments where it's like, okay, this guy might be okay. This guy might have what it takes. I'm not saying he's the next Hall of Famer in Green Bay, but I'm saying that's one of those moments for a young quarterback where it's like, okay, that takes something to lead a comeback like that. Some of the throws that he made, that go-ahead touchdown to Dobbs, that back shoulder throw at the corner of the end zone, like that's the clutch factor that the Packers have had for the last 40 years is maybe he has it too. Again, I'm nothing about that game is saying, oh, here's the next Hall of Famer, but it's just one of those moments where you're down by that much and you really, and it wasn't like he got carried by a 60-yard run or the defense gave him a short field. No, he led two really clutch drives to win a game against a good defense, like you said, and that is impressive to me, and that's the most impressed I've been with him so far in his career.
I know Darren showing some displeasure in Lon's Cardinals beating his Cowboys. Rondell Moore, he says, looked like Cooper Kupp. I don't know about that, but he did have a big run, 45 yards and a touchdown, and just a really head-scratching performance out of Dallas. I'll say this. I'm not worried about Dallas at all. Yes, Dak in some big games, not that this was one of them, but just kind of in general, that's one of the hang-ups still on the Cowboys. I cannot wait to bet the Cowboys coming up this weekend against the Patriots. Patriots coming off a win. People probably too high on them. I like Dallas in a bounce back spot back in Jerry World, giving it about a touchdown. Give me all of Dallas. I'm still pretty high on this team.
Yeah, I don't know. I was high on him, watched him the first 2 weeks, and then you see Dak in a situation where he's got to make plays offensively for like the first time all year, and he didn't really do it.
That's fair.
That's still a concern in the back of my mind. I still think that defense is one of the best in football. I still think they have the pieces offensively. I still think Dak is a good NFL starter. But it was another situation, much like the end of last year, where he's just not getting it done. He throws a brutal pick in the red zone when you need a touchdown. Dak's going to have to silence some critics here this year if the Cowboys are going to be taken fully seriously. That's all I'll say.
That's it for us. Cubs fans, good luck tonight. Kyle, good luck.
Appreciate it.
Justin Steele on the hill there in Atlanta. You can hear that on our sister station, 105.9. I believe first pitch is around 6:20.
Yep.
You get the Cardinals in action tonight against the Brewers. You can hear that here on ESPN Radio 93.5. We'll talk to you tomorrow. No one to thank today except for Kyle.